Good morning once again. It is really great to see you all here today on this kickoff Sunday. This is a day we've been pointing toward with much anticipation. This is the first Sunday after Labor Day, and we've been waiting for it to come, for the heat of the late summer to finally break, to give us a break. I don't know if that's happening today. I plan to take off my coat and relax after the service. I hope you will too. It's going to be a great time at our picnic. We're ready to start the fall together, and I want to talk today about how we set the tone for our life together as a church. As we start today, it's important to set the tone. When I was a high school wrestler, I used to go out to wrestle on the mat, and there were different ways that different people would try to set the tone for a wrestling match. It's important how you set the tone because it sort of directs the way something can go. So some guys would try to look tough and mean. They would set the tone by giving me a really hard look, you know, when you go out there. Others would do push-ups on the side of the mat before coming out, which I never understood because it makes you tired. Like, what's the point? Other people would reach out to shake hands and they would really crush you with a grip, like a handshake grip. You know, they try to intimidate you that way. The way that I would do it, though, my approach to setting the tone was after the whistle would blow, I would get as close as I could and then headbutt my opponent. Just give him a good skull crack. It kind of said something like this. This is true. You know, we're not here. We don't want to be here. We're in a sweaty wrestling gym wearing singlets on a Saturday morning. Neither of us want to be here. But if we got to do it, let's do it. And here's a headbutt for you. P.S. If you want to give in now, it's fine with me. I'll accept. So that's what setting the tone is like. It sort of gives us an idea of what it's going to be like ahead. And today's scripture from Jesus is in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 18. And it's a scripture where he's really setting the tone for his disciples. He is calling this group that's known as the church together. And he's saying, this is what life together will be like for us. There's no headbutting in it. But listen, because God might have a word for us as we set the tone for our fall as a church together. This is what it says. Take care that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you, in heaven their angels continually see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a shepherd has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he rejoices over it more than the 99 who never went astray. So it is not the will of your Father in heaven that one of these little ones should be lost. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you're not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let that one be to you as a Gentile or a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two or three of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. God, we give you thanks for your word to us in Scripture, and we ask that today, as we turn to it again, that it might be a word of life, a word of hope, and just the word we need to hear today. We pray it in your Son Jesus' name, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So in our passage today, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he tells them not to despise or not to look down on the little ones. The Greek word is mikron or micro, the littlest ones. Jesus is setting the tone for his community of faith and, by extension, for us. He has a concern for the littlest ones or the weakest or the most vulnerable in his community. And in this story, he's teaching his disciples, again, how to think about those little ones, those lost ones, those broken ones, those hurting ones, those who are on the edges and not fully in ones. Jesus is setting the tone for a culture of all those who would follow in his way. So he tells a story, which is what Jesus does. He's a storyteller. He says, suppose a shepherd has 100 sheep, a nice little flock, and one of those sheep goes missing. They get lost. They wander off. They go astray. Wouldn't the shepherd leave the 99 safely grazing on the mountainside or in the pasture and go searching for the one that was lost? When he finds it, he brings it back rejoicing. And Jesus says it would bring him even more joy to bring that one lost sheep home than even the 99 who never left. Jesus says, in the same way, it is not the will of the Father in heaven that any of these little ones among you should be lost. It is not God's will that anyone should be lost. So it's helpful to realize that the community that Jesus is forming, which we come to know as the church, is different from other organizations, right? Maybe you think about the Marine Corps. The Marine Corps, right? They have that motto, the few, the proud, the Marines. Help me out, team. I'll come back to you. The Marines, they pride themselves on being the few. Many will come and try to get through Marine training, but not all will make it, and that's okay. That's the culture of the Marine Corps, the few, the proud, the Marines. This week, a young guy in our church was telling me about his summer internship at a local tech company, and he was telling me that there were 25 of them working all summer in this internship for the chance to get one of 16 job offers. That's how it goes. That's how it goes in corporate America. Not everyone's going to make it. Some will. And his hope was that he'd be part of that few, but not all. So Jesus is defining a culture or the approach that his disciples should take when it comes to the church. It's not the will of the Father that any of these little ones should be lost, which means that part of being the church means we welcome all, but that's not all. We are also called by Jesus to do the hard work of maintaining and building and restoring our relationships. All are welcome, but it's not the will of the Father that any should be lost, which is why we have a calling from God to do the hard work of maintaining, building, and restoring our relationships. Remember that old country song? When something like, take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. You can try to stop me, but I'm heading for that door. Here's that door. They used to play that country song on the radio station on Friday afternoons. You know, people would come off of work after a long week, and just that's right the moment when people are ready to take this job and shove it and just move on. And it can feel that way sometimes, but maybe we could even hear it this way. Take this mortgage and shove it, or take these medical bills and shove it, or take this Silicon Valley traffic commute and shove it. Anyone feel that way? Sometimes we felt this way. Take this friendship and shove it. Take this marriage and shove it. Today, we're receiving new members into the life of our church, and some of you new members are just joining with us and coming in the doors. Here's the truth. Sometimes you might even say, take this church and shove it. That's true. There's a saying about leadership, which is that leadership is disappointing people at the rate that they can handle. You heard that? That's true. So in the Marine Corps model, they say, here's the door, and you can go right out of it. But the church is a little different, and we're trying to set expectations. Jesus is setting the tone. He's saying, look, we're going to disappoint each other. In this community where we extend grace and receive grace, we're going to let each other down sometimes, even leaders, even the church, even all the people who are here. And so his calling to us as disciples is not to kind of passively say, oh, well, I'm out the door. Oh, well, take this thing and shove it. His calling for us, what we receive, is the hard work of reconciliation, the hard work of reaching out to the one who might be lost to us, but not yet, not without a fight, not without responding as God's people should do. So as we start the fall together as a church, we're thinking about this culture. This is kind of like how we roll. That's the title of the sermon. This is how we roll. It's the first principle that Jesus gives, that it's not God's will that any of us should be lost or left out. And that's especially true of the vulnerable. It's especially true of those on the edges. So according to Jesus, he puts a high priority on going after that one lost sheep, the one who goes away, whose life is not quite right, the one who has needs and vulnerabilities and all the rest. And Jesus is saying to the church, this is how we roll. We reach out to that one Sometimes it's going to be us that needs reaching out too. It's our way of life. It's our high calling. We were on a retreat this weekend with the elders of the church, and it was Friday night. We were going around the room sharing, and one woman who was there, one of the elders, she said, "Well, today is my 32nd wedding anniversary, and I'm here with you guys." And we all said, "Oh, no, you know, we're sorry. You're doing church stuff on your anniversary?" And this was her quote. She said, "Yep, that's how we roll. That's how we roll. I'm here on my anniversary with you guys at church. That's how we roll." Praying. We were together with this group praying for the church, praying for God's direction, listening, trying to listen for God's voice. That's how we roll. That's how we seek to be led by God. Hurricane Harvey came through Texas last week and wrecked everything. And there are storms going on right now in Florida, and we're going to be praying for them in our service today. But people responded. The first question people asked was, what can we do? You know, how can we help? So we prayed about it. We took a collection and sent money down to the Presbyterian Disaster Assistance Group, PDA, on the ground. And we're still wondering, how's God going to lead us? Because when things happen, we want to respond. That's how we roll. There was a man in the church who had a fall this last week. Some of you heard about it. And I checked in with him this week and talked to the deacons. And the deacon said, "We're setting up meals for this guy every other day until he gets better. Every other day, we're giving him a home-cooked meal because he can't get out of bed." Church, that's how we roll. Today, we have an adult baptism here in the service for Allison, who's coming forward to take this big step in her life and in a faith with God. And this summer, we've had a bunch of baptisms, right? We've had adults, we've had kids, we've had little babies. And in each case, we thank God for the grace that is on display, for this desire that God has that none should be lost. Baptism is like the front door to God's household, the household of God. Here's the front door. Some people come walking right through, like Allison. Some people come limping through. Some people are carried in arms like babes. And all of them come to experience the grace of God that's on display in the sacrament of baptism. That's how we roll. Jesus, in our story today, is teaching his disciples and the church how we are to roll, how we are to act or live or behave in our life together. He's setting the tone. He's headbutting them at the beginning of the match, just to get their attention and just to say, this is how it will go. So then Jesus takes this principle that we're talking about and applies it in a surprising way, the second half of our passage. The principle is that it's not the Father's will that any should be lost. God wants everyone in the flock. And then Jesus says, it's not just dumb sheep who accidentally wander away who are called to be part of this, but it's also those who are separated from the body by their own sin, their own failing, their own fault, their own foolishness. Does it sound familiar to anyone? Sometimes we're the ones who are at fault. Sometimes we know that within our body here. Jesus says, if another member sins against you, he should have probably said when. He says if, but it really worked if he had said when. In a community like ours, you know, we're not all quite as perfect as we appear on Facebook, and that's true. And we're going to have misunderstandings and hurt each other, and some of it will be accidental and honest mistakes. Some of it might be our own fault. We have brokenness. We have mixed motives. We have that capital S sin in our lives. So Jesus says, if and when that happens, and it will, choir, if and when that happens, when someone sins against you, don't sit there and wait for them to come and apologize to you. That's what Jesus says. Don't sit and cross your arms and say, well, we'll see if this guy comes around. Jesus says, you go and be the one to take that first step. Doesn't it usually work the other way? You know, someone hurts your feelings or does something against you, and you kind of sit there and you're like sit and stew in it a little bit. Have you ever had a conversation in the car ride coming home from work, you know, where you're talking to somebody else but nobody's there? You're really talking to yourself, oh, I would have said this and he would have said this, but I would have come back at him. You ever had a conversation like that? It's a sign that maybe it's time to go and talk to them directly. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying conflicts are going to arise in a community like ours, even a community of faith and hope and love. And here's the first step that you are to take. You be the one to go and try to talk to that person about it. Jesus does not say you go on social media and complain about it. Jesus does not say you go to some friends and gossip about it. Jesus says go to that person. Talk one-on-one. See if you can resolve that conflict. But not everything works out that way, and so Jesus kind of continues, and he says, if that doesn't work, bring in a couple of other people. Sometimes it helps to have a third person present. That's what counseling is about. All married couples need to know that. To have a third person to kind of help us talk to each other in a different way. Maybe it's a friend, a trusted friend. Maybe it's a mediator, an arbiter. Maybe it's a leader in the church, an elder, a deacon, even a pastor. Someone to help you talk through this issue together. But then Jesus says, if that doesn't work, bring it to the whole church. Some issues need to be brought out into the light, and that's the only way they're going to get resolved. Jesus is an idealist in a certain way, but he's also a realist. So then he says this, if all that doesn't work, if one-on-one conversation, if a small group approach, if the whole church can't convince them, if none of that works, maybe you do need to separate from each other. Maybe you need to take a step back. Maybe you need to take a break. He says it in hard terms. Treat that one like a Gentile or a tax collector, which in the New Testament community was like the outside of the church. That's a hard word. But there are some problems, it turns out, that are really too big for us to resolve on our own. So the focus that we have as a church, and this is where we'll end, is that first principle that Jesus gives, that it is not the Father's will that any should be lost, that we have a part to play in maintaining the unity and to seek reconciliation, and that in the end, we're going to leave the judging up to God, that there are relationships that maybe can't be fixed, and so there's a time to step back and let go and let it be for a while. So as this fall begins, I want to invite you all to join me in doing these three things from today's message. First, to focus on the first principles of our faith. To seek the deep purposes that God has for us. That's something we try to do week by week together. Let's focus on first principles, God's purpose. Second, let's look to discover the part we have to play. What's our active part? What's our response to what God is doing? And then third, let's trust God to handle things that are bigger than we can handle. Learn God's purposes, participate in what God is doing, learn our part to play, and then trust God with our lives. Church, that is how we roll, and that is how I pray we will roll together into the fall season ahead. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.